Father, we love you. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. Jesus. Jesus. Thank you for freeing us from putting on a show, trying to make everything perfect. But God, we know that there are other churches that do that, and they've got a right heart, God. They do it because they love you. They do it because they think you deserve it. So we're not criticizing them, God. We thank you for what you've done in our midst, God. Thank you. Now, God, you know how we've been praying for the last week. And God, we're coming up on a fast. And I don't know why, Lord, you had me pull out a message that I preached at Bikers Church, God. I don't know, 4 years ago or whatever, God. But, Lord, it's fresh for today, God. And God, give us what we need from you today. Give us what we need from you. And don't let me be a barrier in the name of Jesus. Amen. Useless fears and precious fears. Useless fears and precious fears. Nevertheless, many, even the rulers, believed in him. Who? The rulers. But because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. Okay? That's a useless fear right there. That is a useless fear. Now let's go to the book of Acts and the context of the verses I'm going to throw out there. God has just killed Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? Remember, New Testament, after the resurrection. Because people say, oh, that's the God of the Old Testament. Okay, well, you explain Acts 5 to me. Okay? He's just killed Ananias and Sapphira, and this is what it says. And great fear came over the whole church and over all who heard of these things. That's a precious fear. Okay? This one's a useless fear. That's a precious fear. I want to look at the two of them. Okay? I want to discern the useless fear. Not all the time, but generally speaking, it's a fear of man. Fear of consequences. Precious fear, that's a fear of God. Big difference between the two. And if we can reject the one and embrace the other, if we can understand the one and understand the other while we're rejecting and embracing at the same time, we're going to transform from sinners saved by grace, just enough to get into heaven, thank you, Jesus, to men and women of God that are doing damage to the devil's kingdom, that are dragging people into heaven with them. And some of them are going to outrun you there because of the power of the Holy Spirit that's flown through you, through to them. I want to talk about useless fears first. And useless fears are kind of like a ring in a bull's snout. Okay? Anybody ever had a memorable encounter with a bull? Okay? How many, anybody actually ever hurt by a bull? Okay. My encounters with bulls, and I've known a lot of farmers, okay, and they've been in churches, and my parents were both raised on farms, and they always had a bull. And the bull, all of them had a reputation, okay? You don't mess with the bull. You don't tease it. You don't throw rocks at it. You know, bulls are just, like, when the Chicago basketball team picked their name, that's not a bad name for a basketball team, okay? Because they're intimidating, and you cannot reason with a bull. I mean, you've seen bullfights. I won't get political. I can't handle the thought of, you know, I'm always rooting for a bull in a bullfight. Always. Always, okay? Because, like, they got spears and everything, and they're smarter than him. I root for the bull. I don't watch them. Rodeos, okay? Rodeos are like car races, because people say, yeah, we want to watch, see what, yeah, they go for the crashes. Come on. They're all into the, yeah. They're all crazy, you know, like, anyway. Okay. And rodeos are like that too. Oh, wow. He really rode that bull. It's a danger thing. You don't mess with a bull. They can kill you. Okay. But farmers, remember, they own the bull. They know how to handle the bull. I've never seen a bull that didn't have a ring in its snout. Okay. Maybe the rodeo bulls do, but the ones I've seen, they always have a ring in their snout, and it's usually got a leather cord. And that bull can kill, I mean, they are killing machines. They will trample you. You do, they are territorial. Like, they just, you know, and the farmer goes in and he knows how to do it and he reaches that thing and that bull will go wherever that farmer wants it to go. He has got him by the ring in the snout. Okay. I want you to think of that ring in the snout. I want you to think of yourself as a raging, powerful bell. Don't mess with me. I'm full of power, God. That's what we are. And that little ring in the snout, that is fear. That is useless fear. And other people can grab that thing, and the devil can grab that thing, and you are totally immobilized. Even though God can do more than you can ever ask or imagine, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that is within you. And that little ring is that's the useless fear. A person who is afraid of what people think. Now, get this. A person who is afraid of what people think is always pleasant to be around. Always. Okay? Everybody's friend. They would never, in a Christian, in a body of Christ, in a church context, they would never rebuke a gossip. Okay? So are you controlled by what people think? Here's a couple tests for you. How easy is it to embarrass you? Okay? I've been embarrassed so many times, it's really hard. Okay? But how easy is it to embarrass you? That's a good measurement of how serious and how you're ruled by what people think. How important is it that your good deeds get noticed? Okay? How important is it that your good deeds get noticed? That you can tell if that's important, if that means something. Well, there's fear there. You got that snout's in there. Part of our sinful nature, okay? Part of our sinful nature is our need for self-preservation. Okay? It's not only part of our sinful nature, it's part of how God made us, because life is precious. We protect our lives. And what happens is sin comes in and warps that normal need of self-preservation. Ellie's gonna be in my house tonight, and if she's awake, I will take her. I've done this already, 3-4 months to start doing this. You take them up like this, you tip them your way. When you tip a baby your way, their arms go up immediately. Even as young as 1-2 months. Why? Because that's a built-in reflex, protection. Okay? But what happens is the devil that takes something normal, and boy, we become ruled by it. Thankfully, a baby's not doing this all the time, when it's learning how to walk, when it's learning how to eat and everything else. Because self-preservation is a wonderful thing when it's in subjection to God, when it's normal. But if it's not in subjection to God, it can take over. Okay? And it motivates way more things in our lives than we think it does. Okay? Jesus wants our greatest needs of self-protection to be found in Him. How does that happen? A real dirty word. Ooh, some of you are going to cringe when I say it. Trust. We have to trust in Him. We have to trust. That's the most unglamorous thing about Christianity. That gets, oh my goodness. I mean, why do I have to trust in God? Come on, lay it all out for me. Make it happen, Trust. Trust enough to do the right thing and not be manipulated by man. When the most difficult time is to trust by not being manipulated? When God says, do nothing, say nothing, wait. Wait. I'm going to be 60 this year. I don't mean to brag, but I'm about 3% more patient now than when I was 13. Okay? 3% since I was 13. Thank you, Jesus. There's been some advancement in my life, okay? They that wait on God. I've preached whole sermons on that, okay? Luke 16:15. You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of men, but God knows your hearts. For that which is highly, this is quite a scripture here. For that which is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. That's quite a general statement. That's not just minimal specific things. I don't know what those things are. The Bible says, doesn't lay them out. I mean, it lines up with Isaiah 55 where it says His ways are not our ways. But you think about the implications there. That throws the door wide open to a lot of stuff that everybody is, oh, that's so wonderful. What is highly esteemed among men is detestable in the sight of God. Whoa. I don't got time to even speculate on that. This is one of these verses where, when you're doing your alone time with God, you're praying. That would be like, I heard a joke once, a guy's in the hospital, he had a speed reading accident, hit a bookmark, went flying right across the room. Okay, funny, eh? Now, This is the kind of scripture where you think you're going to knock off a chapter or two, and you get to that, and the Holy Spirit says, whoa, you're not reading any further. Whoa, you need to think about this. We need to talk about this, okay? The implications of that are almost scary. The implications are, there's some things that I think are really great. They're wonderful, because I'm a man. You women, you don't get off the hook here either, okay? We're human, okay? There are things that I think are just wonderful. And God says, oh, get out of here. You know? I don't want to go into the gory stuff of what's detestable. That's the word of God, okay? When you give in to fear, when you give in to the fear of man, listen, when you give in to fear of somebody, you are giving in to their control over you. Doesn't feel like it, but that's what it is. You have your pride strengthened because fear is preserving your pride and making sure that, you know, it's kind of like a warning system. Pride being threatened, you know, that's fear. Okay. Weakens your humility. Oh, everybody loves Jesus, you know, humble. We love being around humble people, don't we? Yeah. You know, well, give in to fear, it's going to kill your humility. And it misses, I'm using a phrase from the Bible, I'm going to give you a scripture. It misses the mark of the high calling. You've heard that term before. The mark of the high calling, the best that God has for us. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Other translations of this scripture says there's a high calling, there's a high purpose. And this translation just says win the prize. Okay? We miss it. We miss it. So why does the Bible say, well, it's pretty plain why it says this. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power and love and discipline. Stay at it. Stay at it. That can be a real powerful manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Staying at it. Just staying at it. You know? But nothing's happening. You know what? You're staying at it. That's a happening in itself right there. Okay? That's useless fear. Then there's precious fear. Some of you remember when I put this slide up about 4 or 5 years ago. Okay? Precious fear. That's my 14-inch plug-in home light, super intimidating chainsaw. Okay? Oh, that's a kid's chainsaw. I've put this slide up and farmers have said, that's not even a chainsaw. You need a Husqvarna. 300 horse, you know, cut down a redwood and just by looking at it, you know. Well, I don't need that in my property, okay? That little beggar can still kill me, okay? I got a good friend who his son-in-law was using an angle grinder on a missionary residence in, oh, I don't know, I think it was Zambia or Zimbabwe, one of those two countries, okay? They're building a Bible school. He lost control of that thing for a half a second. And that blade went in the last place you would want it to go, okay? And he bled to death on the way to the hospital, okay? Servant of God, wonderful man of God, okay? He was like in his mid-30s, okay? So that little beggar there, that can kill you. That can kill you, okay? Whenever I use that thing, I got safety goggles on and I am almost rehearsed, man. I have a very, very healthy fear of that chainsaw. I know what it can do. Great tool. I mean, man alive. You know, what guy doesn't like using a chainsaw? We love our chainsaw. Wow, you know, but you don't get stupid. Okay, a motorcycle, same thing. Okay? Okay? I got a very healthy fear of that thing. And that's the type of fear that we have. I don't stay up at night in this image. Ah, you know, like home light. Ah, I'm gonna die. You know, I don't, that kind of fear. Okay? When I use it, I've got a good, healthy fear of it. That's the type of fear, that's the precious fear I'm talking about with the power of God. Okay? It's a higher valued fear. This fear of God doesn't always say pleasant things, but it says good things. Okay? This kind of fear, if you have it, your speech is filled with integrity and honesty. John Wesley said, we can test this, you know, weigh it. He said, you know, you got to tell people exactly what you think about them all the time. Imagine that, eh? I got a relative that just had a baby, you know, and about 4 or 5 months, and you know, like, I keep waiting for this baby to get cute, because Heather, oh, don't you like so-and-so? Yeah, that's, what do you say, you know? That's some baby, like, I'm sorry. Anyway, you know, tell people, what, can you imagine how bad that would be? And church, oh, it's even worse, you know. Look at their new baby. Isn't Heather, I hate it when Heather does this. Isn't she beautiful? Now I gotta lie. Okay? And I've told, don't, and she forgets because, you know, okay? Or you're gonna like this one. Does this make me look fat? You can't win with that. You can't win. Because if you say no, you're lying. And if you're, oh, dear God, help you if you're honest, you know. I have a theory. Now listen, this is not God talking, but this is one of those discussions that I think is kind of fun, okay? And the Bible says, you know, be more heavenly minded and set your affection on things above, you know, not on the things in the earth. That's Colossians 2, okay? I have this theory. You know why I think we're all going to get along in heaven? Because we're not going to have our personalities neutered. We're going to be more than we've ever been. I mean, there'll be no sin, no temptation. We can't even imagine what that would be like, okay? But it's going to be total... And I think it's going to be total honesty and integrity. You know why I think we're going to get along? I think it's because you won't be able to hide your thoughts from people. I think everything is going to be right out there. I think everything you did, even that, even the stuff you did that's under the blood, I think everybody's going to know. There's going to be nobody in heaven that deserves to be there anyway. They're all there by the blood of Christ, okay? And I think everybody is going to know all the garbage, and it won't matter. It will not matter. I think that's what I think. It's hard for it to imagine. Try to imagine perfect honesty, perfect love, perfect transparency. And I think we're going to laugh about the things that we were embarrassed about before. I think we are. It's just a theory. I don't know. You know, I'm not saying that's the word of God. So if we're going to be brutally honest in love, how do you do that? Now, that's what John Wesley said. That's not the Bible, you know, because I'm going to give you some instructions. I would think if you're going to be brutally honest, if you're going to be people of integrity, and you're going to embrace precious fear and not be bound by useless fear, love conquers all. Against such there is no law. You know? Perfect love drives out fear. One of the things that they tell people, and I've told people that speak at story time, okay? Because most people, that's the biggest fear they have, speaking in public, okay? And this is what I tell them. You go up there and you imagine that everybody's crazy about you. If you went up there and you went, and then you started crying, and then you ran out of the room, everybody would go, wow, she's better than she's ever been. That's awesome. Okay? If you could think that, perfect love drives out fear. Okay? The bad kind, the useless fear. Perfect love, though, will give you a greater respect for precious fear. It will. And of course, I can't ignore this one. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. We try to live at peace with everyone, and as far as it depends on us. But you are going to run into people, they may be Leaf fans, I don't know, you know, you're just not gonna get along with them, okay? That was for you, Ken, I'm having fun, okay? Hebrews 12:14. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Okay? Boy, there's an intimidating scripture. You're not perfect. You've had it. You know what? If your holiness is not in Christ, some of us veterans, we've learned this, okay? If your holiness is in your own works, you're going to be frustrated for the rest of your life, okay? And you're going to get proud because you'll get good at this thing, okay? It won't mean nothing. If our holiness is not in Christ, if my holiness does not come from the blood of Christ in my life, I'm lost. I have no holiness outside of Christ. I have no hope for holiness because of Christ. So there's a totally different spin. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. In other words, you're not going to be able to make every effort to be peace with everyone if you don't have Christ living in you, okay? That's why we need Christ. You are not going to be at peace with everyone if you don't have Christ living in you. We're a species that does this, okay, a lot. We can't seem to get it together, and that's why Jesus came, okay? Without true love for others, listen, without true love for others that's fueled by Christ in us, Okay? If you don't have that, standing up for righteousness, all that is self-righteousness. That's all it is, because it's based on your holiness and your understanding and your ability. Without true love for others, okay? Standing up for righteousness is self-righteousness. Look what the word says. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things. Oh my goodness. He's a people pleaser, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, so that they may be saved. You know? You hear these people, I don't care what people think. That could be a very evil statement. Jesus cares about what people think. Jesus loved people so much that he died for them. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to tick anybody off. But we're trying to win them to the Lord. Holiness is, you don't compromise holiness, but you're trying to love people. And the balance between 12, you're never going to please everybody. At the same time, we put every effort into being at peace. Just because you run into a bunch of knuckle brains, you don't, that's it, I've given up on humanity, you know. Jesus didn't give up on you, okay? Yeah, he kind of makes the allowance. You know, there are people going to drive you nuts, but I'm still to make every effort to live in peace, okay? And I'm still trying to win people. And if you read Matthew 5, some of the people we're trying to win down here are our enemies. Jesus said, love your enemies. How do you get rid of your enemy? You turn them into your friend. I can't do that. Right, but Jesus can. Okay, and we got to believe that. You know, as we make those attempts and as we go into those places where angels fear to tread. You know what I think I'm going to do? That's not in the Bible. And I think this might happen. Next week's going to be a really fantastic service. I think the week after, I'm going to do a message on the 10 top things that people think are in the Bible. They're not in the Bible. Okay? Ooh, I got a response. Oh, I can't do it now. I'm pleasing people. Forget it. Okay? Can't do it that too. Why do you act pure at work? Do you act pure at work to show people up or to win them? When God is slandered, how do you handle it? I was watching Don Cherry about 3 or 4 years ago. I find myself disagreeing with 80 to 90% of what he says. But I love this guy because he's so honest. He's so, you know, I would love to be a neighbor of this guy. I would love to go to barbecues. He'd be the funnest guy in the world. We'd be arguing all the time. But he's just believes what he believes. It's a good thing, you know? Not a bad thing. I remember about 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, he starts talking about the locker room, and this guy in an interview started saying Jesus Christ and God damn it and all that other stuff. He says, there's no room for that in hockey. He said, you don't take the Lord's name in vain. You want to use the F-bomb and everything else, go for it, but don't do that. That's classless. I thought, yeah, way to go, Don. Give it to him, buddy. Give it to him. You know? How do you handle when people slander? You know what? How do you handle it when you're at work and you hear a dirty joke and you can't avoid it because you're kind of, you know, whatever. What do you do? And it's funny. You know? You've been there? You know? You want... happened at CFRA a lot, okay? Happened when I worked for Ford's. And my natural... Not my natural. What usually came out... Oh, guys, you know, like... That's... Anyway. Why are we like that? Because we have a precious fear of the Lord. Someone who fears the Lord is really hard to embarrass, okay? Someone who fears the Lord is really, really hard to embarrass. I've never seen an embarrassed lion. Oh, not, no. You could be outnumbered, man. It's going down without, I mean, it's going to take at least two or three if there's 10 on it. He's, you know, lions aren't afraid of anything. There's a couple examples. I don't have time to go into them, but Isaiah, you know, he was stripped and barefoot and running all over Israel, and people thought he was nuts, okay? Ezekiel, oh dear God, Ezekiel. Lie on your one side, shave half your head, you're gonna lie 40 days on that side, then 390 days on this side, and then you're gonna boil your own excrement and cook food. Hey, hold of the excrement here, you know? Let me use cow poo instead here, you know? I know, you're all wincing at me. It's in the Bible, okay? No embarrassment there. The guy's dealing one hand, first hand with God. David dancing before the Lord so much that his clothes fall off. Not a hint of embarrassment, you know? The fearless follower of Christ trusts God to defend them. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. You will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Whoa. Trust God to defend them. That's somebody who's a fearless follower of Christ. In case you haven't tapped into it, that's what we're trying to produce here. I can't go with, well, I'm going to pastor church, keep everybody happy, grace of God, smile, you know, do the thing on Sunday. Ha, 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 ha. You know? I'm not wired that way. And if some of you want to leave now, that's fine. There's a lot better churches to go to. I can give you a list, okay? If we're going to do this, we're going to produce fearless followers of Christ, okay? That's, because once you taste of this stuff, the old church thing is as boring as anything, and I hope you've tasted of it. Well, you're here, so that's a good sign, okay? A fearless follower of Christ speaks the truth, even if it's sometimes painful. Got all kinds of examples of that, you know? Ahab wants to attack Ramoth Gilead, so it gets all the prophets here. Everybody says, go, go, you know? Here's some horns, and God's going to gore the enemy, just like that. Micaiah says, You know, I think it's Jehoshaphat and Ahab are having an argument. Is there no prophet of God here, you know? Oh, yeah. This is beautiful. Ahab says, yeah, we do have a prophet, but he never says anything good about me. So, it's actually the Bible. He never says anything good about me, so I don't listen to him. Get him in here. Well, sure enough, you know, you're going to get killed in battle. So, Ahab has the guy beat up and put in prison, and Ahab dies and is defeated, okay? Because fearless followers of Christ speak the truth, even if it's painful sometimes. Fearless followers of Christ can't be manipulated. They can't be manipulated. Because pleasing people is too far down their priority pole. Doesn't matter to them. Now, when I say pleasing people is down their priority pole, please, fearless followers of Christ, we love pleasing people. We are building bridges with people. We want to make every effort to be at peace with them. But that's not as important as honoring God. The precious fear has more hold over our life than the useless fear. What do you do with a bull that has no ring in its snout? You respect it. You make sure the fences between you and it are secure. You don't mess with that thing, okay? Somebody that has no fear of man and follows Christ. Has no ring in their snout, and they're a bull to the Satan's kingdom, okay? John the Baptist, head on a silver platter. Daniel, you know, hey, look it, you know, throw in the lion's den, you know, not going to stop praying. Of course, the biggest example is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? Fearless follower of Christ doesn't act spiritual, is spiritual. They say, oh, it's Sunday.
Smile. Yeah.
When they want something, okay, the spiritual, when they want something, they don't say, well, I've prayed about it, as if that's going to buy them more credibility. They don't have to tell you that they prayed about it because they already know God knows. Okay? You ever get that? Well, I prayed about this, you know. A fearless follower of Christ is not afraid to confess fears and failures. That's a big one. It's huge. You know that verse I keep flogging all the time. I'm not even going to put it up because you've heard it so often. About boasting and weaknesses. They don't fear the judgment of men. Or being seen for what they really are. In need of God. Okay? They're not afraid of that. Fearless followers of Christ are dead to self. Can't embarrass a dead man. And I've gone to caskets with people and heard people say, oh, he looks awful. Just awful. I've never seen that. Hey, just a second. The dead man get up. Come on, that's a little harsh. You know, that doesn't happen, does it? You know? They're dead. My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Only God can do that. Not even the devil can do that. Only the God can do that, right there. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join... Do you hear this on TV? I don't hear anybody preaching this on TV. It's the Bible. I don't know why it's not on TV with the TV preachers. Join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Have you ever heard a TV preacher preach that verse? No, only losers have got a few people in a gymnasium and can't get a real church. They're the only ones that preach that kind of thing, you know. It's Bible. I don't mean to be harsh or judgmental. The most useless fear, the most useless fear, okay, that I want to leave with you right now. The most useless fear is being afraid of trusting God with your life. That's not going to get you anywhere. Okay? Now, I'm going to add something to that. The most useless fear is being afraid of trusting God with your life, especially when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're ending a lot like we did last week. Okay? People are afraid of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People are afraid of being totally immersed in the power of God. They probably saw something or heard something that they kind of ruffled their feathers a little bit. And they're afraid, okay? They're afraid. That's a useless fear. That's a useless fear. Close your eyes. I trust by the power of God every one of us in this room is still seeking the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, I've been there, done that, got that. Yes, so have I. And I feel weaker than I've ever felt. Okay? I need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I need something fresh. I need something way more powerful than what I've ever had before. And I'm praying for that. I want you to know right now, that is going to be the most major focus of my fasting this week. Look, I'm thrilled people are fasting. That's great. I'm not going to tell you what to pray for, because when you get talking to God, He starts moving upon your heart, and He's going to have His way, and that's great. But as for me, and this 6'1½", 230-pound household of the presence of God, that's what we will be praying for, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Christ, and you know what? Yeah, I'm gonna ask anyway. If you don't know Christ, if you've never committed your life to Christ, okay? I'm not talking about recommitments. I'm talking about, no, I've never given my life to Christ. I've gone to church and I even have a relationship with you, John, but I've never done that. And you want to make that right this morning. I want you to raise your hand right now. Right now. Real quick. I almost didn't ask because I know everybody in the room. I'm just trying to be faithful to God. God, thank you for this family. Thank you for Carol that's with the kids and Ashley that's with the kids and Miriam, God, thank you. Thank you for your blessing on us. God, I ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit this week. Some people are going to be pushed to the limit because they signed up for more fasting time than they think they're capable of, but they felt led to do it anyway. God, if ever we're going to meet with you, it's going to be this week when we're fasting, God, and we're seeking you. Please speak. Please speak. Let us see the impact of it, God. As we work the streets and work with the people that we love, Lord God, downtown Ottawa this week, God. Let us see the impact next Sunday, God. Let us see it during the week, God, when we invite people to come here and we never dreamed they'd come, but they end up showing up. God, let us see it, God. Let us see it through what comes out of our mouths that surprises us because we know it's not of us. It's a word that you gave us, Lord, for somebody that needed it, God. God, it's your will to do all those things. You said so in your word. So do not let us restrict, God, in any way what you want to do in our lives. Keep us building each other up. Keep us encouraging one another. Keep us protecting one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.